One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel, broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Decided I was gonna do
like a werewolf. Over there,
so. Happy Halloween, trick or treat, smell my feet, aren't they sweet? Oh my gosh, everybody's all jovial this morning. Diamond was killing me with her costume. Oh my gosh.
She busted through the room before anyone got here, and V and I, like, we were just frozen from shock.
You'll have to check it out on Instagram.
Yeah, go check it out. It's on our page, One Life Radio 1.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, it's great to have you guys in studio. You know, always great to have Vaughn here, Vaughn Eaglin, and Debbie Campbell. We're going to be talking about the 5 scariest habits in a relationship today on Halloween with Debbie Campbell and Vaughn Eaglin, how expectations are shaping your relationship. Both great subjects. Really looking forward to it. You know, I want to. You know what? Before I get to anything, I this just popped in my head. I don't know how I didn't really forget, but I don't want to be Debbie Downer. But I was my niece. Her home in North Dallas took a direct hit from the tornado.
Wow!
And it was the first time I was up there since all of this has happened. She just got her power on like 3 days ago. But I made my famous stuffed shells.
Oh yeah.
My pasta dish, and I took that up to her and some non-GMO garlic bread, and I just can't believe the devastation. If you haven't driven up there in that part of Dallas, I encourage you to go take a drive with your family and count your blessings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a lot of clients who were affected by that because my office is right in Preston Hollow.
Right.
And so a lot of clients were living in hotels, not being able to have power. We had friends saying, hey, can we come stay with you? We don't have cable electricity. I mean, it's just horrible, you know, whenever you see someone go through devastation. And if you haven't gone through it yourself, sometimes you have difficulty conceptualizing, like, what they're experiencing. So and having empathy for them. So,
well, and a lot of people, I have to say, if I'm being fully transparent here, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, I apologize.
Go for it. You're
good. But I just get... When it popped into my head, I was just like, oh my gosh, I've had people say to me, well, at least it hit, you know, rich people and not poor people, which I guess I sort of understand that if it's going to hit somebody, maybe hit the people that can handle it better. But that's a crappy way to think that that anyone, you know what I'm saying?
No one deserves that.
Have you heard anybody say that?
I haven't.
We haven't?
No, but I did have clients as well impacted, and it's hard to witness.
Yeah, rich or poor, we all hurt the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I totally agree with you because, you know, people, whenever they experience suffering, especially when it's something that you did not cause, a lot of times that transition can be such a shock for people.
Yeah.
And you have to just readjust your whole life and everything stops in your life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of people going through transition, we have to be sensitive to their needs.
And a lot of those people didn't live in the big mansions up in that area.
Very true.
I mean, you go from like some, you know, nicer, you know, upper middle class homes to these huge, like, just unbelievable estates.
Right.
You know, some of them were untouched, some of them weren't. But, you know, that's the thing that makes America so great. We all get a chance to live that American dream if we get lucky enough, if we work hard enough, if we're disciplined enough, you know. And some of us not so lucky. But you should never, you know, hate someone that's done well. Unless they did it in an evil way, maybe.
I agree with you.
You know, and if they've done it and hurt other people, then yeah, let's hate them. But
already,
I'm being so transparent, right?
No, you're good. You're good. We talked about this, I think, in the last show, how money is really amoral. So it takes on the characteristic of whoever holds it in their hand.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money. You can be, you know, benevolent and giving, and, you know, or you can be a miser and you can be stingy, or you can be middle class or poor and do the same thing. You can be a jerk when you're poor too, you know, and not give anybody anything. So I think it really is a matter of the heart. So
you're making me think of something I haven't thought of in years, but I've done this joke for years. You got yourself a little gold mine there, don't you? You know? Okay. So this is the early days of the first Pizza Patron, been shot at, you know, couldn't even finish the front counter, you know, for 3 or 4 months until we sold enough pizzas to make enough money to finish the counter. But I remember we were open maybe 2 years, and I mean, we're talking working 3 jobs, we're talking grassroots marketing, going out on foot, putting door hangers on people's doors.
Wow.
Back in the day, you know, and some guy, you know, because it was a Friday night, I think it was, and we were really busy, and the guy said, "Got yourself a little gold mine here, don't you?" You know, and people think, they think stuff like that. He just verbalized it, which was wonderful to give us a window into somebody's mind. But, you know, it's not always that way. People that own their business, own a business, so often are barely getting by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're barely getting by. And if they get lucky and they have their health, they make it, you know, but they work 80 to 100 hours a week. You know, they rarely get a day off when your doors are open 7 days a week. And it's just, it's not that easy to get rich.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the things I see amongst my elite domain performers, like, is that, you know, there's this perception that getting there is fast. Right. Like,
oh,
that
yeah,
they
I know.
Got there quickly or something.
Right.
And it's totally at the cost of all the struggle, strife and, you know, hardship that they went through to get there. It's nothing like this happens overnight. This is years, decades in the making.
Yeah. It's just like a rock star. People are like, oh, my gosh. He's been doing gigs for 15 years before he finally got discovered, you know, most musicians, and work for crumbs, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like to tell them they have endurance for suffering.
Yeah.
You know, you've built your endurance for suffering, because that's really what it's like.
Oh,
is you can tolerate all of that hard work and little time, little personal time and sacrifice. And it's, you know,
it's a lot of work.
Underappreciated.
Yeah, it really is. And anyway, what do you guys want to talk about? I was going to talk about ayahuasca because
ayahuasca? Granny takes a trip.
Because it's shrink day. You guys are both shrinks. Okay, and so we've got like older senior citizens now doing ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. You have to educate me about what is ayahuasca.
Okay, so ayahuasca is a psychedelic.
Oh.
That's become very popular. Oh. It's illegal in the United States.
You're not going to do like drugs when you get older, Bernadette? I'm it's like, because, you know, you just people don't care. You know, hey, you know, I have more days behind me than I have in front of me, so why not live it up?
Well, you know, I've been very open about this. I did mushrooms once.
Okay.
And it was the best experience of my life.
You know, a lot of people.
But I didn't hallucinate, because I'm afraid of hallucinating, because I have a brother that's schizophrenic, and he used to hallucinate and scare the ever-loving bejesus out of me. And so I'm like, no, I don't want to hallucinate. I just want to get at such a high level of consciousness where I completely lose my ego. And I did. Mm-hmm. And it was the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life, and I will never forget it.
Yeah.
So here's a story from the New York Times, okay? Taking ayahuasca when you're a senior citizen, some older adults are dabbling in this powerful psychedelic, which is mostly illegal in the United States. At 74, the venture capitalist George Sarlo might not have seemed an obvious candidate for an ayahuasca experience. Mr. Sarlo, a Hungarian Jewish immigrant who arrived in the United States in 1956, has had great professional success as a co-founder of Walden Venture Capitalist. He lives in an upscale San Francisco neighborhood and a large house with an unobstructed view of the Golden Gate Bridge. And yet something was always lacking. Mr. Sarlo's father had disappeared from their Budapest home in 1942. He had been drafted into a forced labor battalion, an experience he did not survive. At age 4, George had told himself that it was because he was a bad boy that his father had left that day early in the morning without saying goodbye. He believes that he never recovered from that early loss. So Mr. Sarlo's close friend, a doctor, told him about ayahuasca, a psychedelic brew made from the Banisteriopsis caapi vine, native to the Amazon, used for centuries in sacred healing traditions throughout Central and South America. Ayahuasca is now gaining popularity around the world, featured in recent headlines about the habits of Silicon Valley. Although it's DMT. There you go. DMT.
Cool.
Whatever that, you know, the big long word, it's like a million syllables. DMT. The active ingredient in an ayahuasca trip is mostly illegal, as I said, in the United States. There are a couple of exceptions under religious exemption. Ayahuasca tourism is thriving, with more people happy to fly thousands of miles to take part in a week-long ceremonies in Peruvian jungles or to seek out more luxurious contexts like a four-star resort that comes complete with masseuses, pools, and state-of-the-art fitness centers. And notably, ayahuasca's increasing popularity knows no age limits. Many of those now showing interest are squarely in Mr. Sarlo's own demographic. So what do you guys think about that as shrinks, both of you?
Well, go for it.
ladies first.
Well, I think that, you know, amongst the elite there's and successful, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they can have, right? So that stuff kind of loses value, and peace of mind kind of becomes the new premium, or experiences that are pretty exclusive kind of become the new premium. And so, you know, I think we're seeing an uptick in this, in the research for using mushrooms, using ecstasy, psilocybin. I mean, just we're seeing an uptick, and even states are incorporating in, like, Colorado, you can now go do like ketamine assisted.
We've talked about this at length with Dr. Dan Engel, who is who's an incredible authority on all of this. It's very interesting, though.
So we're seeing that.
So I have a couple questions. Number one, why is it illegal? So that's one.
Well,
thing
you'll
have
to ask U.S. Gov.
And so and so the second part for me, I guess, is that for a lot of people, you said this young man had, well, the old man, he had trauma when he was a kid, and there are a lot of research. They used to do a lot of research back in the day with people who would take LSD and then have therapy, and you would see a lot of trauma that got healed inside of the brain because their ego, like you said, got out of the way. And so it looks like he was going for a specific experience to heal a trauma, or he felt like something was missing inside of his life. Now, I can't necessarily vouch for the, you know, for what he did, or, you know, for the legal or the ethical piece of it. But for me, a lot of people are having experiences. Like you said, Debbie, that a lot of people are having experiences, or they're looking for something that's missing. So what else is there to life? And so they go through this existential fugue state because I have all the money, I have all the resources, I have relationships, but something is still missing. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like he may have been going for that, and it seems like he experienced that. It's just like marijuana. If you have it in a controlled setting under the of someone who actually knows what they're doing.
It's ridiculous that marijuana is illegal. I'm just going to say it. Well, everybody here's thinking it. You know, it's a bunch of BS. The government's got too much power. Right, don't get me started, Vaughn.
Okay.
All right. The thing with ayahuasca, though, it's kind of similar. It says that the ayahuasca plant isn't illegal in the States, but the active ingredient, DMT, is.
So. The government needs to stay out of our business. Yeah. Well, government's way too big. You know, it's ridiculous. You got people in prison for possession of a joint, really, but we've got rapists and murderers just walking everywhere, right? Put a guy in jail for a joint. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, all right, we're going to go to break. Thanks, Vaughn, for getting me all jacked up. Probably got me in trouble. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Old soldiers just fade away. Old habits die.
I love that song. That's one of my favorite Mick Jagger songs. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with the tourist Diamond Gray in there, dressed up in her Halloween costume, Aviana Barrientos, Vaughn Eaglin, and Debbie Campbell. I'm going to introduce both of you because I like to mix it up when I have two shrinks in the house. So I'll start with you, Vaughn. Vaughn is a licensed professional counselor supervisor that works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues and anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He is also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships dialogue. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or follow him on Instagram at Von Talks. I can't help it. I can't help myself.
It is all good.
But, and Debbie, always a pleasure to have you in studio as well, just like Von. Debbie is the co-founder of Curis Functional Health, a multidisciplinary functional health clinic where chiropractors, therapists, and dietitians collaborate towards healing with the nervous system. She has almost two decades of experience as a marriage and family therapist. Her background is in neuroscience, sports psychology, and positive psychology. She is a level 3 PACT couples counseling clinician, one of about 50 in the U.S. and a brand ambassador. And so you can find her at her website at gocuris.com. That's GOCURIS.com. A pleasure always to have both of you in studio. Okay, Debbie Campbell, the five scariest habits in a relationship. Let's go through the five scariest habits in a relationship. What's number one?
So I felt like for Halloween, we should do something a little bit thematic. So
absolutely.
I wanted to maybe tackle the five scariest everyday things that people do in relationships that causes problems with feeling safe and secure. So the first one I thought of was always having to be right and never apologizing.
Mm. I knew someone like that.
I think everyone knows someone like this who either always has to be right or never apologizes or both.
Yeah.
It's such a caustic, dangerous relationship habit because basically it signals I care more about being right myself than I care about how you feel and how it feels to be in this relationship.
And perhaps could that be a sign that they're also a narcissist?
Could be. I mean, but there are lots of people who do this who aren't.
Von got a big smile on his face.
I mean, they do that.
Definitely narcissists and people who are borderline and people who have mood disorders tend to do this more often. But just because you have that doesn't necessarily mean that you are a narcissist or you have a mood disorder.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, because I was like that whenever I first got married and it was just like, you know, I just felt like I was more important than the team. So,
yeah.
There's
but
no I and we.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys get a little spoiled by their mothers.
I think
is where that comes from.
But it's kind of true.
It is kind of true, you guys. Come on, we're talking psychology here.
Well,
and I hate it that moms get all the blame for stuff. It makes me so mad when that happens. But I do think that mothers... I think that they demonstrate more adulation to their sons than they do their daughters. That's been my observation so far on this planet.
In Hispanic cultures, that's spot on. You will see a grown man still getting fed by his mother.
Oh,
yeah, like making him a plate, making sure he's
feed
all...
me. Feed me, Tim.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Well, I'll say this from an African American standpoint, you have men who aren't in the home. And so a lot of guys, when they're growing up, they have to become the man of the home. So they go into this parentified role, and their mothers are used to babying them, taking care of them, being responsible, whereas they typically would do that for a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you fast forward that, I get married. Now I'm supposed to have my wife doing that. And now the mother feels like I'm cheating on her in some ways. And so you'll see this sound like this pseudo or like this fake. You see, it's difficult because how do I play my, you know, how do I mediate this relationship when my mother wants to take care of me? However, I'm supposed to be giving my love, attention, and affection only to my wife.
So, what do you say to that, Debbie?
Challenging.
I love having all this conversation about this.
I'm like, you know, mothers do take, I think, like a fair brunt of the blame.
They do.
Like,
why is everything our
caregiver.
Fault?
But you know, like the good enough parent is like 33% of the time they read the tells correctly and they get it right and they take care of the kid in a timely manner. 33% of the time they get it wrong, but they make it right. 33% of the time it's neglect. That's what at least the research is showing us. It seems to me like, you know, we'll round back to apologizing. I'll bring it right back.
Yeah.
We'll come back to apologizing. Like if you don't get it right and you apologize, that's a kind of a monopoly moment, right? Like if you've hurt me and you don't apologize, we're not passing go. I'm still upset. If you want to argue about being right, you know, we're going to argue. I mean, if one person's a winner, then, you know, like the relationship is the loser, period.
What about fact fighting? People that do that.
Oh,
is that what we're, that's some of this too?
This is fact fighting. I mean, fact fighting is totally this. My recollection is this. No, it was this way. You're lying. That's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, couples.
Well, that can be gaslighting too, can it?
Could be. But a lot of times I think it's just fighting to be right. And it just lacks the acknowledgement that memory is highly flawed. It is state dependent.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what mood you're in that day. Every time you go back and remember something, you're rewriting it literally based on the mood that you're in that day. Memory is so flawed. If you understood how flawed memory was, you would never argue with someone else what they recall happening unless it was to be helpful. Like, hey, you know, I think this happened before this, but that's just how I remember it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the only constructive, like, fact that you could get in there. Otherwise, you end up debating reality, right?
Yeah.
Which is, it just feels like a loser's game and just leads all kinds of insecurities in relationships. Because at what point is the other partner going to take up for what it is that you think, too, as an equal in the relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's definitely problematic if you're dealing with a personality that does that
lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And apologizing is like one of the easiest things
free,
that you could do.
Right.
It's free. It's so easy.
And you should always apologize quickly too, shouldn't you? Instead of sitting in the corner with your marbles just steaming.
It's something that you can do that offers your partner quick relief, right? Mm-hmm. Like quick relief that you're an emotional resource to them. And people withhold, you know, apologizing maybe because of what happened to them in their childhood or you know, they feel like it's part of what maintains them being right, or they just don't have that relationship skill. And it's such an important relationship skill for safety in a relationship that that person is going to care about how you feel first.
Wow.
Before they care about making their point.
So what are the other four scary habits? Oh, what's number two?
Number two is reactivity. Reactivity and taking everything personally. Because think about it. When you go to someone and they have an immediate reaction, like kids with their parents, right?
Yeah.
And they have an immediate negative reaction. You don't want to go back and tell them anything ever again. It just completely shuts down intimacy. And I can't tell you the number. I'm sure you have a lot of teenagers, too, like who come in and they're like, I don't want to go to my parents. They're going to ground me. They're going to tell me what was I thinking, you know. But same goes for your partner when you know what they think, too. And if they're reactive, you know, it's just going to shut down intimacy.
Yeah.
And when you take everything personally, there's really no room for me to have my own opinions. Everything I think means something about you versus just meaning something about me, which is where appropriate responsibility falls. Like, if I'm having an issue with one of your behaviors, that's my issue. It's not necessarily something about you. Then you have the choice as to whether you want to take up for whatever that item is.
Wow. I love talking about this stuff.
So I'm going to chime in right here. So the from a standpoint of safety, I think that's really important because people disclose more information whenever they feel safe. And let's say if you have a teenager and he comes to his parent and says, hey, you know what, Mom? I smoked marijuana and I had sex 3 times last night. And the mom says, what? Oh, my. I can't believe it. And so I know that my parent is no longer safe to talk to, and they're going to react negatively. But it's okay whenever I talk to my counselor, I talk to my friend, because they don't react the same way.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that whenever someone has what we call negative perspective, meaning that you've had a lot of money taken out the emotional bank account, you will misjudge or misinterpret situations and circumstances within relationships, and then you tend to react negatively because you're looking for the negative already because you have a negative mental attribution toward this person because they've wronged you or you feel like they've wronged you over and over again. So it doesn't matter if they're just coming to you and doing something, you know, right, or they're trying to be gracious towards you, you're probably going to see it negatively and just misinterpret it.
Yeah. What's number three?
Number three is hiding what you really think and feel.
Oh, I hate it when people do that. I just want to choke them.
That's like passive aggressive people. You know what I mean? It's like, I want you to get it, but I don't have to. I don't have
just,
to say it.
You know what? And I'm kind of famous for just saying it like it is. But I would rather deal with me than I would someone who never tells you what they're really thinking. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Just kind of hope you get it.
Hope you get it. Like, just say it, dude.
Well, who are you? It's scarier. Is who are you in a relationship with if they're not sharing what they really think and feel? And is that relationship really grounded in reality?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, you think you're married to someone that you know, or you're, you know, in a relationship, a friendship with someone that you know that you actually don't know because they don't share those things. And often in a coupleship, you learn about that stuff really late, like tardy to the party with someone who like.
Well, and people do it at work too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they do. Instead of just shooting you straight and say, hey, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is. Just say how you feel.
But reality is part of what keeps us safe and keeps relationships safe, right? And so it's, you know, oftentimes back, I think, to attachment style and life experience. And, you know, people who aren't bringing it up, they often, their intention isn't negative. It's usually they're well-intended. They don't want to fight. They don't want to lose someone in their life. You know, their intention isn't poor. But the problem is that's the moment the relationship starts losing touch with reality. And that's really dangerous. You know, that's the edge of delusional, right? Not real.
Yeah. Well,
as a guy, I need to know this from you ladies. So okay. whenever...
I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Okay.
Anything.
So let's say I do this for my wife. Let's say I ask my wife, hey, what do you want to eat? And she says, well, you should know. What does that mean?
I would never say that.
You should know. You know, guys do that all the time.
Sorry, I'm not dissing your wife. I love your wife.
No, I'm just saying hypothetically, you know, and I tell the guys a lot of times that you need to be, you know, because women sometimes want you to anticipate the need. You need to be picking up on context clues. You need to be mindful of a lot of things. But a lot of times women are expecting. I don't want to overgeneralize.
You're in trouble now. You know that, right?
It's okay. It's okay. You know, I mean, my wife, she can listen to it right now. You know, I'll tell this to her face. But I'm a grown man, Bernadette. I think we've talked about this before. So that's my ego kicking in. But there are times when you will not say something hoping that the other person gets it from the context clues. Sometimes that can be passive aggressive. But at the same time, I'll see guys who aren't mindful of what's going on or who are emotionally dismissive sometimes not get or not pick up on things because they don't notice the low intensity stuff and they're not getting it. But the other person actually wants them to and doesn't communicate directly. They're not assertive. They're actually passive aggressive, and then sometimes swing to being aggressive. Well, but go ahead.
Well, food is such a wide variety. I mean, you know, you could say,
That's my biggest argument.
It could be anything. Yeah. It could be food. It could be sex.
I love food so much, it would be like, whatever you want, as long as it's good quality. That's all I care about.
The context of that comment totally matters. Because it depends on if it's been brought up before, where it's like we've talked about it and you're asking me for the second time, or if it's just my attachment style. And, you know, I'm the sort of person who would like to have a mind reader. That's my fantasy of what being in a relationship with someone who loves me would be like. They'd know my favorite foods.
If you love me, you'll get it.
This is the wave attachment style unpacked, which is the angry resistant attachment style.
I've actually experienced that with multiple men. I don't know if they're testing me or like I'm supposed to remember that you don't like mustard, or I'm supposed to remember, you know.
Well, if I'm important to you, Bernadette, you would know that.
Well, guess what?
That I don't like mustard because you only see me put mayonnaise on my sandwich, though, so I don't understand.
Here's another example. Here's my daughter the other night. Okay. She's like, Mama, I'm like, honey, what were we eating? And I wanted cilantro. I love cilantro. She doesn't. I forgot that. And I keep forgetting it. Like, I forgot you don't like cilantro, honey. I'll try to remember.
It means you don't love her.
I'd take a bullet for people I love. But sometimes I just forget, like, oh, I forgot you don't like that. Okay, so, you know, where's your list of the things I don't like? You know, am I supposed to carry it around?
Yeah. Let's be clear. Wanting a mind reader is definitely a dangerous relationship.
Okay, so what else is on this list?
Number four is judgment, right?
Ooh, that's
judgment,
a good one.
Which is a way of protecting yourself at a cost to the other person, right? It's a very offensive stance, you know, and it's a defensive stance too. It just tells your audience, "Don't come to me with that."
So, give me an example.
You know, yesterday I tried marijuana, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. What happened? You know, like, you know, were you hanging out with, you know, the bad kids in school? Like, you know, like,
gotcha.
Or you must be a bad person, right? You know, like, today I went to lunch with so-and-so.
And that, that would be an intimacy killer in a heartbeat if you can't go to the person that you are supposed to be intimate with and tell them anything without fear.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing. If you're being judged, you're certainly going to shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Judgment's very close to reactivity. But, I mean, judgment is like, I think that what you did was bad, and I think that you're a bad person, right? You know, but it's a way, in coupleship especially, it's often a way of being self-protective, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're a bad person for doing or thinking that.
Wow.
And it's implied in what I'm doing and how I'm saying it. And it's a real, it's a really scary feeling in a relationship to be with someone who's judging you. Just completely kills the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, like, I can't come to you with everything and toe the line for reality.
Okay, we got to get to number five. We're gonna talk through the music. Leveling.
Five is leveling. So it's a means of trying to cut someone down to size with you. So it's like, I had a real problem yesterday. You told me you didn't like this. I didn't like this thing that you did. And you say, well, you do that thing too. Right. I turn you into my equal, like, right there in that moment. It's no longer about my feelings and how they're hurt or whatever is there. It's about how you're my equal. And so you're a hypocrite. Stop it. You know, like, you don't have a right to this.
Wow. So, like, if you Starting attack me, I'm going to attack you
back. That's what, I call a cross complaint. Like, I'll meet your complaint with a complaint of my own. So.
Well, and nothing gets solved. And then you probably start a fight, right?
Yeah. Oh, it starts a fight.
All the time.
It absolutely starts a fight, and it makes people feel really unsafe in relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Wow. Okay.
These are fun.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Ruff, ruff. We'll be right back. Ruff, ruff. Get up and dance, everybody. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Vaughn Eaglin in the studio with me and Debbie Campbell. Before we get to how expectations are shaping your relationships, I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or Spotify, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off all their products. And they have some really good ones. They have a clean keto that just came out.
I just saw that, actually. Okay. So, and I'm excited to try it.
Yeah, because you're the guy that told me about Sun Warrior like 5 years ago. And we reached out to them, and they've been an advertiser and a brand partner ever since. And so you watched the movie...
Game Changers.
And you were eating a veggie burger earlier?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, he did this... a Netflix special, and he talked about how he having a more plant-based diet was the key to him, I guess, a lot of his success. And they had like one of the strongest men in the world, and they had like a UFC fighter, and they had people doing ultra marathons. And I said, you know what? I'm just tired of hurting. So I need something that's going to help me not have inflammation, and that is going to more of a plant-based diet.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's a good example.
Gotta get
40
that.
Years old, man. Yeah. Might be another Super Bowl winner, and then maybe if he's going to retire. But he's also into sensory deprivation as well. Steph Curry. All these pro athletes, but it's very interesting. It's a very controversial Netflix.
Yeah,
film. It's on Netflix, right?
Well, I've been doing like meatless Mondays. I've been doing maybe no meat, probably I would say 3 to 4 times a week. Actually, and I'm feeling better, more energy.
Wow.
And
I'm right there with you. You know, I still eat pasture raised eggs, a little teensy bit of cheese, but you know, I'm not sure if I raise my own chickens. I was telling somebody this the other day if I would even eat eggs, because I got to thinking about it, and I just think it would gross me out thinking about eating their embryo. You know, like they, you know, it's like. Hey, sorry, I ate your baby last night. Yeah. You know, whatever that didn't hatch or however it all works. Abby's laughing at me. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
It depends on your religion, I guess. I don't know.
Oh my gosh,
it's on your religion.
I don't know. So, like, God made everything. I don't know. So,
well, you know, Tina Burnett. What I'm bringing up next is Enviromedica. She tried it. She had IBS after 10 days. She gave her testimony yesterday. She feels remarkable, and it helped her tremendously. So if you've got any kind of issues, IBS or constipation, I've heard all kinds of testimonials back about Enviromedica. Check out Terra Flora. It's their probiotic that is so amazing at Enviromedica.com. They also sell ancient minerals, magnesium spray, and which are really important for your mental and physical well-being. So check it out at Enviromedica.com. And no evil foods. You talked about Meatless Monday. My favorite is the Italian Stallion Sausage and Comrade Cluck. They're sold out in Target for the last couple of weeks, so maybe check it out at Whole Foods. But Crazy Water, call me crazy. I don't mind. I love their all-natural mineral water. It's been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. And, of course, Veg World Magazine, a new magazine here in Dallas that is advertising with us, as well as the... my mind just went blank because I'm looking at you wondering what you're thinking, Vaughn.
I just look so good.
You do. You stopped me dead in my tracks.
I'm sorry. I was looking at you too hard. So, I'm looking good today. I don't know what's going on. So.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking about earlier, I was thinking, you got a really handsome father, too.
You know what? I would have... This, you know, it sucks because all the girls I would bring home would always say, your father's so handsome. And I was like, what? Am I like sloppy seconds? And it was always like that.
But he's very distinguished for an older gentleman.
He is. He's taller than me. He's bigger than me. He has green eyes. eyes. He's like, it's hard competing with this alpha male that I have standing next to me who looks so older and more distinguished.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he had more money than me growing up. I'm just like, man, this is, it's not fair.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, sometimes life is not fair, is it? It isn't. Yeah. And it's great to have both of you in studio. It's Shrink Day, so I've got Von Eaglin here and Debbie Campbell. Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or follow him on Instagram at Von Talks. And Debbie Campbell is the co-founder of Curis Foundational Health, a multidisciplinary functional health clinics where chiropractors, therapists, and dietitians collaborate towards healing with the nervous system. And she has almost two decades of experience as well. And Von's working on his doctoral,
degree. Yeah.
So you're teaching at SMU now too.
Yeah, I should put that in. I'm adjunct faculty. Yeah. I teach child psychopathology right now.
That is amazing.
Fun. Yeah. So it's interesting stuff. So.
Well, you guys are both smart. You're very, very smart, very intellectual, and I love having conversations with you. Today with Von, his topic is how expectations are shaping your relationship. So what does support in a daily healthy relationship look like, Von?
Well, support comes in a lot of different ways. One statistic I really want to hit on is something, and we've talked about the emotional bank account and how Gottman has this ratio of every stable relationship has a 5-to-1 positive to negative interaction ratio. So let's just kind of go into some detail about that. So when we're talking about support, every relationship, what you'll do is that you'll have a partner who bids for emotional connection. So, hey, look at me. I'm over here. Turn towards me and then meet my bid for emotional connection. When that does not happen is what we call turning away. And whenever your partner turns away consistently, that is not a good thing. So let's say I want to connect with you sexually. My wife, I'll say it like that. Not you, Bernadette. I'm looking at you in your eyes. I'm like, so my wife is like, what do you say? You want to have sex with Bernadette? I'm just like, oh, hold up.
No.
I don't know if that's good radio.
No, it's just figuratively speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Of
let's
course.
Say I want to have sex with my wife. Yes. And she says, you know what? No, I'm not in the mood. So then I come back, 2 days later, hey, I would like to have sex. And she said, no, I'm not in the mood. And I do that consistently. So I bid for emotional connection because sex to me is intimacy.
Oh, absolutely.
To speak. And so if she turns away from me, I will bid and rebid several times. But eventually, if she continues to turn away from me, I'm just going to stop bidding.
Well,
and I feel unsupported in some ways.
Yeah. So and you have to be so careful. I'm thinking about this friend of a friend that I know, and this one statement actually ended their marriage.
Really?
He wanted to have sex, she didn't, and she said, okay, let's do it, but get it over with quick. That was the end of the marriage.
Okay, well, I think there's some other things because...
There was other things, but I'm saying you really have to be impeccable with your word, especially when it comes, I think, to... Because sex involves the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, it involves everything.
It can. You know,
or it should.
Sex is literally putting two body parts together and just moving. That's really what it is.
But
there's a lot
more
to
sex,
it.
Well, sex, yes. Well, I'm talking about making love and an intimate relationship.
We've talked about, like, there's personal sex and then impersonal sex. But, again,
hot sex, too.
There is a degree of vulnerability that can come along with sex, and hopefully there is safety within the relationship, sexual relationship. But we're just saying, like, whenever you support your partner, you need to make what's important to your partner important to you. That is really, really important. So, you know, if my partner... Let's say my wife likes to go out on long walks. She likes to watch Netflix. She likes to cook at a certain hour, so on and so forth. I need to make some accommodations so she feels supported by me. Mm-hmm. And there are things that are important to me. And so let's say if it's sex, let's say if it's spending time with the fellas, let's say if it's working out, let's say whatever is eating a certain food so I can get healthy. Those things that are important to your partner, again, you have to make them important to you. So
yeah. Well, you know, you made me think of something. A lot of people, I'm not going to make it a lot of guys or a lot of women, but when people don't allow you the freedom to share time with your friends, I feel that's very damaging to a relationship.
Well, that is, I have an emotional abuse assessment that I do with couples, and social isolation and social control are components of emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And so that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's go to break. When we come back, then we'll have a nice little chunk of time to finish out talking about how expectations are shaping your relationship. And everyone out there, you're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back. Use your scariest voice, Vaughn. Tell everybody. Do a scary monster. Come on.
Oh,
my gosh. Wow.
I used to do voices when I was a kid. So I was an actor, too. I thought you knew
you
that.
You were an actor?
Yeah, I got like All-Star Cast One Act play and everything.
That's how
Are
we
you
did the
serious?
Real
fire
talk.
Truck.
Real talk.
It's in your
shoot.
Blood, you and Beyonce. Seriously, Beyonce is like his second cousin.
No, it's not second. It's further down the line.
Okay, but, doesn't matter. You got the same blood running through
your
veins.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So.
It's talent.
Yeah.
It's just raw talent.
I try. So.
The queen bee. Well, you know, we're going to get started here in just a second, but I want to let everybody know that One Life Radio will be at the Texas Veggie Fair this Saturday, November 2nd, at the Dallas Farmers Market from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Please join us. This is the 10th annual event, and the Texas Veggie Fair is a statewide celebration of plant-based eating. It is a free event, open to the public. Vegans, vegetarians, omnivores, and everyone in between is welcome. We can't wait to see you on Saturday, November 2nd, at the Dallas Farmers Market. I'll be emceeing the event and the moderator for the panels that are all going to talk about all kinds of things. So join us. And a special shout out to Fast Signs, who made our signs really fast at the Oak Lawn location here in Dallas. And they've been, earlier in the show I talked about Pizza Patron. They've been making my signs for years, for every
really?
Business I've ever owned. It is a great company. And I believe it was founded right here in Dallas.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
so I had a friend of mine who just bought one of their, I guess, franchises, uh-huh. Fast Signs, and he
yeah.
loves it. So
yeah. So the Oak Lawn one did a fantastic job for us. So
Good deal.
Shout out to them. All right, Vaughn, are you ready to continue with this topic?
Let's do it.
Okay. How expectations are shaping your relationship. You know, while we were on break, you guys, we talked about sex and how it is so significant in a relationship. What do you want to share? You and Debbie with the audience
about
that.
What was that quote
that
you were saying?
Okay,
Deb.
So what I was saying is that couples, when they're happy in a relationship, will attribute about 25% of their happiness in the relationship to sex. But when they're breaking up or divorcing, they'll blame almost all of it on sex.
On sex.
Yeah, so it's just a highly symbolic element of being in a romantic relationship.
Debbie was
with
quite
someone.
Funny. She was saying that they'll say like, "Oh my God, he was the best lover ever." Oh my God, and then when they break up.
Yeah.
Oh, he sucked in bed, and he had a little one.
Wow. We need to do a whole show about does size matter and everything. So,
okay. I'm going silent here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Vaughn, let's talk about this. How expectations are shaping your relationship. How are they?
So there's a myth that you need to lower your expectations in order to have a significant or a good relationship. And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of research out there that whenever you have high expectations, when you're first getting into a relationship, that's really good because you find people who will meet your high expectations. So don't lower your standards in order to find somebody. Now, within a relationship, you'll find that there are people, whenever you have expectations that your partner is going to sacrifice, a lot of times you feel less gratitude whenever you actually see them make that sacrifice. So you need to be mindful of that. So you need to have partners who are serving each other, not just looking for the other person to sacrifice and having this unrealistic expectation that they're going to do something that they may never actually live up to. So I know it's time for us to go. But
Well, we got 20 seconds. You got 20 seconds. So what do we do? What do you do if you're in a relationship?
Be really mindful and make note of the positive things that your partner's doing and then highlight those things. So savor the high moments, the positive moments within your relationship, so you'll have a mental note, and then again you're going to be putting money in an emotional bank account. So that's really important. Be thankful, be gracious, thank your partner, appreciate them more often, and you'll find that you'll have a much more happy, loving, and healthy relationship.
I love it. Thank you so much, Vaughn England, Debbie Campbell, everyone out there listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. You know what? Get out there and be contagiously positive.